In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul tells the people of the church at Ephesus some of the things that he's praying for them. Now, JoJo has challenged us to pray, and there are many things that we can be praying and should be praying, but it's always interesting to see what someone who's walked closely with the Lord for a long time prays. And so I want to start with verse 14 and just spend a few minutes looking at the Apostle Paul's heart for prayer for the people he was ministering to. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the things that you taught us through JoJo. Thank you for the challenge that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you'd speak to us from it. In Jesus' name, amen. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. So Paul's beginning to tell what he's going to be praying for the people, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened. How many of you need strength? Obviously, if you're on the mission field, you need strength. If you're leaving your home country and you're going to go to Asia, you need a lot of strength. But we all need strength. We need strength to live the Christian life. God wants to give us this strength, but he wants us to ask. So Paul says he's praying that we'll be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. I mean, our society is very focused on strength these days, but it's all in the outer man, isn't it? So Paul's focusing on the inner man. Through the work of the Spirit of God in our inner man, we can be strengthened. That, here's another thing he's praying, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, not just that you have a ticket to heaven, but that he lives in you, and he lives through you, and that happens through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, in our lives there are sources for our strength, sources for our life. Just like a tree or a plant puts down roots, where do we put our roots? Where do we put our roots? Well, Paul prays that these people would be rooted and grounded in love, that love would be the force, the motivation, the source of everything, that they would draw God's love into them and they would be able to minister through God's love, that they may be able to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, it's interesting when you look at measuring something, when we think about how to measure something in this world. If I were to give you the measurements of this pulpit, what would I give you? I would give you the height, I'd give you the width, I'd give you the depth. Three dimensions, right? Well, what does Paul say? That you'd be able to understand what is the width and length and depth and height. He gives them four dimensions, four measurements. And he says this is something that's beyond comprehension, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So it's something that's beyond the way that we would normally measure something. It's greater than that. Paul's praying that the people will know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ. Now, we believe that Jesus loves us. Some of us sang it from when we were little in Sunday school, right? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But then when we grow a little bit, we begin to doubt, does he really love me? We don't sometimes experience that. And Paul doesn't want the people to just have this mental assent to this fact, like check the box, or this is a true false statement. Jesus loves me. True or false? Everybody would say true, right? But do you know that? Do you know it? Do you experience it? Are you sure of it? And Paul wants the people to be sure of that. That just is a foundation for everything in our lives. Diana and I were talking recently about sin and what's lacking in our lives when we sin. Isn't it that we don't love God enough to do what he's called us to do, that we're really just loving ourselves. So we're acting on our own self-interest. We're doing what we want to do. But if we really loved God the way he deserved to be loved, that love would motivate us to obey, right? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. It's not a prove your love by how you obey. It's have the love in you that will lead you to obey. And so Paul wants the people to know this, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, to know something that passes knowledge. Don't you love the way Paul words things sometimes? How can you know something that passes knowledge? Well, you can know something experientially. You can know in your heart something that you can't fully understand in your mind. And we can never quite fully understand how God can love us because we don't deserve to be loved. And when we know ourselves, we know we're not all that lovable. Now, we may act lovable, try to get other people to love us, but we know ourselves, we're not lovable. But God loves us. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And we can be sure of this intellectually just by looking at the cross. God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we doubt, we can look back to the Word of God. We can look back to the cross. We can say, Jesus came. He proved God's love for us. He died on the cross for us while we were still sinners. He didn't say, I'll love you if you get your act cleaned up. You get your act together, then I'll love you. That's not God. God loves us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us this way. So Paul prays that we'll know this love that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that's a mind blower, isn't it? Because when we think about being filled, what do we usually think about? Well, we usually think about eating, don't we? Don't think about it too much. You'll get to eat later. But we think about being full. We've had a meal that satisfied us. We're full. And so what are we thinking? We're thinking, again, our physical bodies. And as we get older, usually our appetite diminishes a little bit. No, I can't eat all that. Sometimes our eyes don't diminish, and we think we can eat all that. But we get full faster than we used to. But Paul's not talking in the physical realm, is he's talking about spiritual things, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How much fullness is there in God? I mean, think about this. God is infinite. He's unbounded. And we're to be filled with the fullness of God. Paul, you know, he blows our minds. It's just the things that God wants us to know. We want to be filled with God. We want to be filled with the fullness of God. And Paul will go on later in Ephesians and charge us to be filled and to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So God comes into us. He lives in us, but he wants to also fill us and overflow from our lives. And Paul prays for this. And then he says this statement that's just also amazing. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now to him. So the glory should go to God. What is God able to do? He's able to do more than we can ask. He's able to do more than we can think. He's able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. This is amazing. This is part of what Paul is praying for the people, the church in Ephesus, and he's giving God glory for what he's able to do. There shouldn't be anything that limits our prayers. The only thing that limits our prayers is our own imagination and our own faith, because we can't see clearly enough what God wants for us, and we don't believe that he really wants it for us. But if we will look in the Word and we will take a passage like this and we'll think, what does this imply about my life? What does God want to do in my life? How does he want me to pray about what he wants to do in my life? That will strengthen us to ask for those things that God wants us asking for. And when we learn to pray, as we grow in prayer, we begin to understand that asking God for things is not always how we're used to thinking of asking. A lot of times when we think of asking God for something, we think of asking our brother or our friend for something that belongs to them. Like, oh, that's a pretty nice looking ice cream cone. Can I have it? And usually when we ask like that, what do we expect? Get your own. No, I'm not going to give you my ice cream cone. So we have this kind of idea about asking God that applies to the way we ask one another things. And often built into that asking is this assumption that they don't really want to give it. Maybe they will, but they don't really want to give it. Now, think about this another way. When you go to the bank to ask for a withdrawal from your account, what do you expect? Do you expect them to say, no, I'm not going to give you your money? If you have a bank like that, get another bank. It's your money, right? You go and you ask for them to give you your money, what rightfully belongs to you. Or if you've been given an inheritance and the will's gone through probate, that thing in that inheritance is rightfully yours. You go to the executor of the estate and you say, may I have such and such? What do you expect? You expect them to give it to you because it is now rightfully yours. And I think a lot of our asking God for things is with this attitude of, he's this friend who doesn't really want to give me something. Maybe he'll give me a bite of his ice cream cone if I'm lucky. But we have this wrong attitude about asking, colored by our rejection in this world again and again. We have an inheritance in Christ Jesus that is just beyond imagining. It's beyond all that we could ask or think. And God wants to bless us with it. And so Paul gives us this example of prayer that's going to God and asking God for what God wants to do, what God has already purchased for us in Christ Jesus. It's now in our name. And so we can go to him and ask him in faith. We need to expand our understanding of what we can ask for, and we need to grow in our faith of how to ask for it, that we can go to God and ask him these amazing things. I mean, how many of us would say a prayer like this for someone else? If Paul hadn't written it, most of us would never conceive of going to God in prayer and asking these things of God for someone else. But because it's here, should grow us in our imagination of what we can ask. Not that weird imagination that people in the world often have. You know, this is grasping the reality of spiritual truths that are beyond our normal comprehension. So, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, it's to you we come in prayer, for you are the one who is able to do. You're the one with the power and the authority to act. And so we come to you. And Lord, we confess that we have not come often enough or diligently enough or with enough understanding of what you want to do or with enough faith to ask you for it. But Lord, we want to be people who are firm in faith, who are devoted to prayer, who are seeking your will, and who pray with understanding of your will. So, Lord, work in us. We want to know you better. we want to know your love. We want to live by it. We want to be rooted and grounded in your love, and we want to be filled with your fullness. So, Lord, free us from ourselves. Free us from those things that bind us. Free us from our sins. Give us strength. Strengthen us with your power in our inner being. Strengthen us to withstand every temptation and endure every trial, and to do it for your glory. Lord, we want our lives to be pleasing to you, and we thank you that you want to work in us and through us. And Lord, may we be faithful to go out into our mission field. Even as we leave here today, Lord, remind us that we are going out into a mission field, and you've called us to spread the good news of the gospel as well. Thank you, Lord, for those who are faithful to share it with us. Thank you, Lord, for being patient to give us time to come to a place of faith. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to be patient with us as we grow in you. But Lord, we want to be used by you. So work in us and work through us. Make us faithful. Make us bold. Make us confident in you and not in ourselves. And thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. May you receive the honor and glory. In Jesus' name.